Radio is such a relief compared to TV. I love radio.
Have you been doing a lot of television?
I just started 2 days ago, but yes, in 2 days I've done a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take my bracelet off so it doesn't bang down here.
It doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Well, of course, I knew about you. You had a book out, I think, about a year ago, 2 years ago perhaps, called Wifey.
That was about 5 years ago.
That long ago?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. And I remember at the time, there was a lot of, you had a lot of publicity because it was your first grown-up novel. And I know you had written a number of books, not really children's books, I guess they were...
They really are.
Young adults?
They really are children's books. Young adults is some kind of new label that publishers have come up with, but most of them are really children's books.
Because the one that my kid was involved in the most was fourth grade, Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing.
Yeah.
And he was reading that and did book reports on it, and that was, that one was the one I was most familiar with among your books for children. But then you made an about turn. Have you done children's books subsequent to Wifey?
Oh, yes. Yes, mm-hmm. Two. A sequel to Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing called Super Fudge, and an older children's book, which I guess is a young adult novel called Tiger Eyes.
Well, let's go back a bit, and then maybe you could bring me up to date and talk to me about the way you write and so forth. But give me kind of a thumbnail sketch of yourself so I can picture you and your background.
Me? where does one begin? At the beginning? When did I start to write? Why did I start to write?
Well, first of all, where are you from?
Are we on? Are we doing this? Well, I grew up in suburban New Jersey, kind of happy.
Just a little bit
loud in the mic. Talk to me. Okay. Hello. I was born and I lived for 45 years. I've been living, trying it out, experimenting. It's hard to talk into the microphone without you here.
We have to do the CBS. Probably what thing on radio, they gradually eliminated all of our techs. We went from a high when I first came here of 64 to 44 to 17, and by the end of the year we should be down to 9.
So you have to do all this yourself?
So we do most of the work.
I didn't know if we were doing it when we were talking just now, or if that was just playing.
I just have to make sure. It does make any difference whether you have somebody physically sitting in the control room. Or not. I mean, the tape is going to roll. You can see the levels from where we are, so it really doesn't make much difference. And it doesn't matter to me because I worked in little stations all over the country long before I came here, so I know how to...
You know how to do it.
...to run a tape recorder and splice tape and all that, so... And it's faster, too.
Okay.
Much as I love the text, you'd have to wait for them to put down their crossword puzzles, get off the phone to their bookie or their broker, you know, and say, hey, look, we need to roll. So... it works out all right. But let's go back. You grew up in New Jersey.
I did. Mm-hmm. 37 years in New Jersey. Then I ran away.
Why?
To see the world. I mean, at 37, I did what I should have done at 17 or at 22.
What did you call
but
the world?
I'd never done anything. I'd never been anywhere. I'd never experienced anything.
What was the world at age 37? After you left the Garden State?
I went to live in England for a while, and then I went to New Mexico, and I stayed in New Mexico, and now I'm back in New York, and I come and go.
So you live both in, where in New Mexico?
Santa Fe.
So you live both there and...
And here.
Well, how do you maintain two residences?
I'm not sure exactly how that's done, but it's being done. Because when my kids graduated from high school, I wanted to come back. I wanted the big city. And they love Santa Fe very much. So I promised them that they would have a home in Santa Fe.
Are they living in Santa Fe?
No. They're both, one is out of college now and one is in college. But they come and go, too.
So how long are you in each place over the course of the year?
I can't really tell you. It's different every year.
Where do you do most of your writing?
It doesn't seem to matter at all where I am in terms of writing. I've discovered that about myself. Place is not important. What's important is what's going on in my head. Am I there? Is the book there? Is it ready? And when it's ready, wherever I am is fine.
Tell me, before we go into your adult novels, tell me a little bit about your approach to the... to the children's books. This is an uncharted area to me to a certain degree, although I did do a series a while ago with Jonathan Cott, who wrote a very fine book called Pipers at the Gates of Dawn, which was about children's literature. The thesis that he had, and I don't know that yours falls into this category, but I would assume it does. His thesis was that there is a tremendous amount of wisdom in children's literature that adults can learn and benefit as well as children, because a story is often written simply does not make it any less profound. Now, I would assume that in your children's stories, you're dealing with issues, not fairy tales, issues that are of great importance to young people now. And that's my assumption, so I'm throwing this at you, and I'd like for you to pick it up.
I'm dealing with issues that were also very important to me when I was a kid, and I could not find satisfaction in children's books when I was growing up. I couldn't find myself. I couldn't find any reality. There were no children's books about kids like me who had thoughts and feelings and fears and my kind of family. Children's books, when I was a kid, everything was fine. Everything worked out fine. And so when I started to write, that is the only thing I think that I thought about, because it all happened quite spontaneously, was I'm going to write the kinds of books that I wanted to read when I was 12 years old.
I remember that when I was in the first grade and we had the very young text, I read about the friendly mailman and the happy fireman and a joyous construction worker. And later I found out that those jobs aren't very good. Firemen become asphyxiated by smoke, mailmen aren't paid very much, and a construction worker doesn't like it because it's dirty and it's cold. And so I had this romanticized feeling about people and jobs and lives growing up, because books did not have a sense of reality to me. What are some of the themes that you approached, the issues, the things that were important to you as a child that you tried to explore in your children's books?
It's not so much issues, I think, as feelings. In the first successful children's book that I wrote is a girl called Margaret who talks to God, and God is her confidant. She discusses everything with him. That is something that I did when I was a kid. She is very concerned with her body. She wants to be normal. She wants to get her period. She wants her breasts to begin to develop. All of that was on my mind when I was 12 for a short period of time. But again, I think it's not so much issues as characters relating to each other, family situations. Divorce was not something that was in my life. It was not part of my experience when I was a kid, but it certainly is part of thousands and thousands of kids' lives today. So I wrote about that. And, the humor of life, the pain of life, real life.
Well, that's an interesting way of phrasing it. Well, you mentioned the pain, because I do have a feeling that much writing for children does not tell them about pain. I'm not talking about the physical pain, but
you don't have to tell them about it, because they already know about it. All you have to do is read some of the letters that I get from kids, or remember back to when you were a kid. We all have that ability. You were talking about what reading children's books can do for adults. And I think one very important thing that it can do is help you communicate with your kids, help you understand, push you back, force you back to remember what it was like, so that you can look at your child and say, life isn't easy just because you're 10 years old.
What kind of reaction did you have as you began to turn out these earlier children's books?
Well, in the beginning, I think there wasn't too much. There really wasn't all the furor. I wasn't the controversial person then that people have made me. And I don't know exactly why that's happened, except maybe for the censorship issue, because my books are regularly banned around the country. It wasn't anything until the kids found the books, and it's the kids who made it happen, I guess, through word of mouth. There were no ads saying, read this book. They found them, and they found something in them comfort, identity, that made them feel better about themselves.
Who has banned your books?
Who has banned my books? Parental groups who are afraid to deal with the issues, with the feelings that I write about. They think somehow that if their kids don't read about these things, their kids won't think about these things. Sexuality, death, money, again, real life, the issues of daily living. And somehow they don't want their children to question. They don't want their children to think. And then they won't have to deal with their kids.
Where has this taken place?
All over the country.
Well, name a couple of places. Well, is there a pattern or what?
No, I don't think that there's a pattern. I've been banned in so many states. The most positive banning story that I can tell you happened in Loveland, Colorado, where almost all of my books for older children were going to be removed from a school library. And a sixth grader took a petition around, and she collected signatures from the kids. And then she went, 12 years old, before the board on the night that this was going to be discussed. And she was able to explain to the adults in such an eloquent way what the books meant to her and to the other kids. And it had nothing to do with sexuality or sensationalism. It had to do with feelings. She made them understand, and the books were put back on the shelves. Mm. That's a really happy ending to a story.
What titles were directly involved in the censorship efforts?
I think it was Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret. Then Again, Maybe I Won't, Deanie. I don't remember all of them, how many of them.
Sounds like your children's books are more controversial than your adult novels.
No, my children's books aren't more controversial. It's just that adults feel that some of the subjects are controversial subjects, and I don't.
Did you get tired? Did you find writing? I know you've written two subsequent to Wifey, but did you get a little tired with the children's genre? Is that why you saw?
No, not at all. What happened to me was, particularly with this book, with Smart Women, I can tell you what happened to me. All of a sudden, I was a 40-year-old woman with teenage children, divorced, with work, and I had always taken the children's side. I could always see that so clearly. It made so much sense to me because kids have so little control, really, over a lot of what goes on in their lives. They can't control their parents. They can't control whether they're going to stay together or be divorced. They can't control whether their parents are going to fall in love again and they wind up in step families. And because I went through a rough period with each of my kids for about 6 months, I said, wait a minute, there's something else here. There's something else that I know about that I want to write about. And that is, how about the adult's point of view of living with children, living through adolescence? And I wanted to do that.
Boy, did you have it easy. You had a rough time for 6 months, huh?
With each one.
Well, that's still only
maybe a year. Maybe a year. We talk about the bad year now. I mean, they're past that and quite wonderful. And
in Smart Women, did you make a composite of your children's problems in Sarah and Stuart and
Michelle. My favorite character, Michelle. No, I didn't. All I did was say what I always say when I'm starting out. What would happen if? And then because I know Margot's feelings, Margot who is 40 years old and divorced with teenage children, I know her feelings, then I decided I would tell her story. But it wasn't that easy because the kids were there and they were inside my head and they were knocking and saying, let me out. I want to tell you my side of this. And so for me, it's the most interesting book that I've written, and I like it best, but that's because it's my most recent baby, I guess. Because I learned a lot writing this book, because I was not only on the side of two 40-year-old divorced women, I was also looking at this from their children's points of view. And, of course, it's the kids who bring all the humor to the book.
Well, I think I mistakenly said Margot, when I meant Sarah a moment ago, as one of the children. But Margot, the mother, very concerned, would look at the child when she would come in from a dance or something, look at her eyes to see if she...
Oh, that's Bibi. That's Bibi. That's Sarah's mother.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
But all of these the suspicion that adults have about their teenagers, did you or do you have this now? Do you look at the eyes of the kids and wonder about
no.
the blood control and all of this?
No, because we talk about everything. No, Bibi is a woman who represses everything. I mean, she can't deal with real life, and she's so busy pretending that she's terrified. Margot meets things head on, I think. She wants to talk to her kids. Of course, her kids don't, at that time, want to talk to her.
Why did you put the setting in Boulder?
Because I know Boulder a little bit, and I know Santa Fe, and I think that Boulder has somewhat of a more real-world quality than Santa Fe, which is very make-believe. And I felt that these women would come to Boulder. They might come to a place like Boulder. And because I need a place to be very, very real in order to write about it, and I knew Boulder, and I spent some time there buying make-believe houses for them and understanding how they would live there, it's a place where you might come to change your life. And it may be your fantasy place, and you get there and you settle in, and it's not so much a fantasy, but there you are and you make the best of it.
At first I thought Smart Women was going to be a comedy, a funny book, and there are some humorous passages in it, of course, there are, and incidents, but it turns out to be a rather serious book about some serious problems affecting people, or perhaps a lot like, well, obviously like you.
Yeah.
upwardly mobile, upper middle class people who have these challenges that I think a lot of us tend to overlook. But I think they're shared.
Challenges?
Marital problems, dealing with the teenagers and their sense, their feeling that they need to be liberated from their parents. And these are all things that we know about, but there's sometimes so much around us that it's hard to articulate.
Oh, but so many of us are living through it. I don't know what the statistics are, but so many of us are divorced. They're remarrying or regrouping in some way. When you fall in love at a certain age and you've been married and divorced, you bring to that new love a lot of history, and you bring children. And the question is, can new love survive that?
And do you fall into the same traps that you had before?
Maybe the same traps, and maybe a lot of new ones too, because then you've got something else going there. You've got the kids. And I don't know, I think a lot of people feel caught in the middle. Women that I know feel caught in the middle between loyalty to their children and wanting very much to be a good, concerned, loving parent, and loyalty to this new mate who has expectations for what the relationship is going to be.
When are you heading back to Santa Fe?
When am I?
Hmm?
I've just come from Santa Fe.
Just in time to promote the book primarily, or to enjoy the weather?
I'm about to embark on a 15-city tour to promote the book.
Oh, are you looking forward to that?
Sometimes. When I'm not tired, I'm looking forward to it. When I'm tired, I get worried. It's hard. It's very hard.
Well, I hope I haven't made it too hard on you.
No, not at all.
And thank you very much for coming. What's after the tour? Do you have a new project lined up, or have you already started working on it?
No, I'm not working, but I have, the characters are beginning to swim around in my head, and when I hear that knock, 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 let me out, then I'll sit down and let them out.
What about any more children's books?
It will be a children's book, and it will certainly deal with step families. I'm not through with that. I think it's really important.
Well, we can find a place to ban you. You realize that, don't you?
You're going to find a new place to ban me?
We can find a new place. There are always new ones popping up.
Well, I hope not.
Well, listen, thank you very much for coming in, and sorry that I couldn't get to you earlier. I hope you had a nice rest while you were waiting.
I did. I had a lovely nap.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Don't go away, because I want to make sure we have you on tape.